Good morning. Good to be with you this morning to worship together. We invite your attention at Ken's request to James chapter 3, reading the first 12 verses. James 3, 1 to 12. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. I'm not sure what Brother Ken has for us this morning, but I know it's going to be a message from the Lord, and I'm just impressed as I think of the power of the tongue, that the words that we say can either bless or curse. And we sometimes take them and say them so lightly and say things without thinking. Jesus emphasized the importance of what we say in Matthew 5:37 when he said, but let your communication be yea, yea, or nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. We need to be so careful what we say. So let's, it reminded me when I looked over the scripture of my mother, when I would start to say something negative about someone, she would say, watch your mouth. If you don't have anything good to say, you don't need to say anything at all. And I think that's some good advice. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.
The title of the message this morning, Communicating with one another. With whom did you communicate this morning? How did you communicate? Did you speak using only words? Or did you have some body language, possibly a smile? And ultimately, what was the purpose of that communication? You know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God has given us the ability to communicate. Primarily, we are created to communicate with our Maker. On another level, we are created to communicate with one another. As believers, prayer is our primarily method of communicating with God. And in turn, God communicates with us through His Word and the Holy Spirit. God's ultimate communication with mankind was when He came in person. Emmanuel, God with us. That divine communication is indicated by Christ's name in John chapter 1, where it reads, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's verse 15. The title Word signifies communication. He communicated his will, the way of salvation, and the purpose for the church. Jesus in John 17:8 prayed, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Communication. In verse 14, Jesus prayed, "I have given them thy word." God has communicated to us and created us to communicate with him and with other people. In this message, we will consider some biblical principles and practical applications for communicating with one another. This includes our families and those in the body of Christ. In addition, these principles are of value in our interaction with the world around us. Communication includes more than just our ability to talk. We can communicate in other ways, some obvious, others very subtle. Listening is also a necessary element of communication. And so, as a definition, communication is a process of sharing yourself both verbally and non-verbally in such a way that the other person both receives and understands what you've said. With no listening, there is no communication. So let's consider, first of all, qualities of communication. Communication is so much a part of our makeup and purpose that there are literally hundreds of verses dealing with this topic. Communication is closely connected with love. If one speaks with love, then that covers all the other aspects of proper communication. I'd like to share with you two verses that, if practiced faithfully, will provide advice that incorporates much of what the Bible has to say about speech. Ephesians 4:15 is the first one. "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Truth is devoid of all deceit and hypocrisy. Truth is not conveyed when there are misleading statements or when there is silence and the truth should be shared. You know, a lie can be told simply by remaining silent. Truth is the description of the way things really are. Truth is reality. When spoken with love, that type of communication emulates Christ himself and demonstrates that we are maturing in him. A companion verse is found in Colossians 4:6. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Use courteous kind and encouraging speech at all times and to all people. That would be a paraphrase of this verse. That takes love from above. And it will attract rather than repel. As salt enhances flavor, so believers should speak with language that is tasteful, refreshing, and energy-giving. Both of the qualities mentioned in these two verses, grace and truth, are used to describe Christ the Word made flesh in John chapter 1. The Word full of grace and truth. Our communication, like Christ, should always be with grace and lovingly spoken in truth. You know, to faithfully accomplish that assignment is life-changing. I could stop right here and, speaking for myself, have enough to work on, not only this week until next Sunday's sermon, but for the rest of my life. You see, words come from the message center of one's brain, but they're often assigned meaning based upon the agape love or lack of agape love in one's heart. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Secondly, we'd like to consider power of communication. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat their fruit thereof. Medieval monarch Frederick II, Roman emperor from 1194 to 1250 AD, conducted an experiment to withhold communication from a number of babies to see if they would naturally, without prompting, speak a certain language when they grew old enough to enunciate words. There is written documentation by a man named Salambini, and he wrote that Frederick encouraged, quote, foster mothers and nurses to suckle and bathe and wash the children, but in no ways to prattle or speak with them. For he would have learnt whether they would speak the Hebrew language, which had been the first, or Greek, or Latin, or Arabic, or perchance the tongue of their parents of whom they had been born. But he labored in vain, for the children could not live without clappings of the hands and gestures and gladness of countenance and blandishments, meaning sweet talk. The results were disastrous. The babies died. They needed express love in the form of communication to develop properly. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Communication is powerful. We are fearfully and wonderfully created in God's image, and communication is very much a part of God's nature. Intimate communication is described in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He shared that communication with us, His creation, when that Word became flesh and came to live among us. That Word, capital W, that communication changed the course of human history and changed lives forever, giving eternal life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Do we fully understand the impact and the power of our words? Just one sentence, or maybe one word, spoken thoughtlessly and in disgust, has the power to influence a child negatively for the rest of their lives. On the other hand, an encouraging word can motivate and build for a lifetime of success. In that sense, what we speak or communicate is either a curse or a blessing. We heard about that in the opening scripture. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. It's that serious that a few verses later, James says bitterness, envy, and strife are devilish. In other words, so don't kid yourselves and lie against the truth. I shared a poem before, and I was reminded of it just this week when one of the students wrote a little essay and referred to a builder and a wrecker, and I said, that sounds familiar. Where's the poem? Let me see it. And she opened the book, and I said, yep, that's the one. It's called A Builder or a Wrecker. As I watched them tear a building down, a gang of men in a busy town, with a ho, heave, ho, and a lusty yell, they swung a beam, and the side wall fell. I asked the foreman, are these men skilled? And the men you'd hire if you wanted to build? He gave a laugh and said, no, indeed. Just common labor is all I need. I can easily wreck in a day or two what builders have taken years to do. And I thought to myself as I went my way, which of these roles have I tried to play? Am I a builder who works with care, measuring life by rule and square? Am I shaping my work to a well-made plan, patiently doing the best I can? Or am I a wrecker who walks to town, content with the labor of tearing down? O Lord, let my life and my labors be that which build for eternity. We come to the third point, components of communication. Our words are so important that once spoken, They're recorded. And we will give an account. Matthew 12:36 alludes to this, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Words are given further meaning by our tone of voice and our body language. Based on some well-known research by Dr. Albert Mehrabian, content or actual words comprise 7% of total communication. Tone of voice, 38%, and body language and facial expressions, 55% of total communication. Now, it was never this researcher's intent that this narrow experiment would be generalized for all communication. And he has since stated that the importance of nonverbal messages in this research was derived from experiments dealing with communicating feelings and emotions or attitudes. An individual could take one statement and give it numerous meanings by his tone of voice. I tried this out on my son's dog named Cuddles. I spoke very nice words, flattering words, with a mean tone of voice. And his ears flattened, and his tail went between his legs, and his eyes were downcast. I then spoke very mean words with a kind tone of voice, and his tail started wagging, and his ears went up, and his eyes were focused and expectant. You know, we could maybe illustrate that here this morning. I don't know if I can do this or not with so many people listening. But just the words good morning. You know, they're positive, aren't they? But I'm going to add some tone of voice. Good morning! That's enthusiastic. It's great to be alive. Good morning. How are you? Are you okay? Tone of voice kind of put some extra meaning to those words. Good morning. Gently, caringly. Maybe to someone who is hurting. Good morning! Obviously, I was conveying a fake anger. Good morning. Grunting. Don't bother me, I haven't had my coffee yet. Good morning. With a happy smile. Same words. Different tones of voice, different facial expressions. Therefore, I conveyed different communication. You know, in this illustration, people will listen more to your tone of voice than to your actual words. Likewise, a very important factor is our body language when we are communicating one with another. Are we attentive? What are our eyes saying? Are we actively showing interest and listening? Maybe leaning forward with eyes focused or versus arms crossed and eyes rolled up in the head, smirking or sighing? If any of these that I just shared contradict what we're saying won't be taken seriously or believed. You know, there are times when one cannot get a full understanding and a complete interpretation of a person's statements by just reading the words. or hearing the words. Facial expressions and body language do make a difference in some cases. When our oldest daughter was around 4 or 5, we were on our way to church. I was driving. She was in the back seat, unable, of course, to see my face. And I made a statement. I don't even remember what it was anymore, but it could have been taken as valid or not seriously. I was just kidding. I did that, and I still do make statements like that at times. Anyways, after I made the statement, Dina said, "Daddy," now keep in mind, I was driving, "turn around and say that so I can see your face." She, in her childlike innocence, was illustrating an important part of nonverbal communication. Was there a twinkle in my eye and a slight smile on my face, or did I have a serious expression? You know, the Bible has a lot to say about the countenance and the role that plays in relating to others. Body language is also illustrated in a number of places. Proverbs 25:23, "The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance and a backbiting tongue." You know, that verse points to facial expression and possibly even tone of voice. Matthew 6:22, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." Our eyes many times speak volumes. Just our eyes. Mark 15:29, "And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days." You know, in this instance, body language, wagging the head, intensified their scornful words. Proverbs 27:17, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Our positive communication with others can encourage, strengthen, and inspire to the extent that other person reflects the change on their facial expressions. That's how powerful our words are. Let's consider, fourthly, methods of communication. There are various ways we can communicate with one another in the body of Christ. And you might say this could be a sequel to last Sunday's message. Those options have increased dramatically in the last 20 to 30 years. Back in the day, letters, notes, landline phone calls. And yeah, I had to go through Jane's parents when I called her many times. Verbal face-to-face conversation has now all expanded to email, texting, and social media. I haven't used it, but my iPhone has an app that's called FaceTime, enabling people to talk and see each other at the same time. Skype and other programs use the same verbal and visual communication tool. I remember in elementary school, the teacher said that someday people would not only talk to someone on the phone, but they'd be able to see them as well. To be honest, I didn't believe it, but it's here. Yet all these options condense into three categories: written words only, or digital, verbal voice, and face-to-face, verbal and visual combined. 2 John 1:12 mentions two of these methods. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. We live in a world where the sound of a voice and the light and kindness in the eye over a cup of coffee is replaced with the likes on a social media post. And that does not produce joy that is full. There are times when face-to-face communication is necessary and exceeds the benefit of written or digital communication. One-on-one face-to-face friendship and communication in the body of Christ requires this personal communication. Exodus 33:11, it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses face to face." And here's the comparison: as a friend, or as a man speaketh unto his friend. How does this apply specifically to our communication? Let me just go down through some information here that I observed, and some of it I learned the hard way. Abbreviated texting is great for brief notifications or information that is limited in nature, such as time of the meeting is 7 o'clock. Could you give me a call? I'm praying for you. Hang in there. God's grace is sufficient. I was encouraged by your lesson. What is Bill's phone number? Families can keep informed of special occasions and happenings and stay in touch even on a daily basis with group texts. The family of God can use it for good purposes in encouragement and notification. Email is very convenient for longer communication, attaching documents, sending out agendas or announcements, sharing editing notes. It's a quick way of getting out information on a wide scale. A handwritten letter or card sent by snail mail can be a great encouragement at times. How about in the verbal arena? A phone call is better than email or texting if there needs to be dialogue and extensive back and forth conversations to come to a conclusion or a course of action. There have been times where I just used the phone rather than texting because it was too much time involved with all the back and forth. I personally highly encourage face-to-face communication for sensitive or highly confidential information. Resolving conflicts or dealing with offenses should be done face-to-face, unless the distance, the time factors, or circumstances absolutely prohibit meeting in person. Never resolve conflicts by a letter, texting, email, or worse yet, social media. Let me emphasize, never, never, never. Misunderstandings and misinterpretations are most likely to take place, further complicating the issue. Tone of voice and facial expressions are lacking. It's like walking on quicksand, and expecting to establish a good footing in the relationship. Furthermore, words and statements become permanent. They're now documented. And they may very well come back to haunt and bite many times. With email, the forward and reply clicks can be disastrous, as someone either intentionally or unintentionally clicks the mouse and the information is broadcasted afar, or the wrong person is notified and devastated. In addition, social media becomes a den of iniquity if used to vent offenses and bitterness. Do you know that face-to-face communication is commanded in Scripture for settling offenses? The word go is a physical relocation where a person walks or travels in some manner. Go. We understand that. Both scriptures giving steps of reconciliation for the offender and the offended include going and communicating on a one-to-one basis. Additional steps involve more people aiding in the reconciliation process, but nonetheless, it must have the elements or the element of going. And I might add, with our feet and not our fingers. Therefore, this is found in Matthew 5:23-24. If thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. The other scripture in Matthew 18:15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Both instances, go. Either if we have offended someone, or they have offended us, and we know about it. And so we never have an excuse not to do something. Never, never, never use texting, email, or social media to resolve offenses. Go. Number 5, misunderstandings in communication. Many problems in our relationships grow out of miscommunication. Failure to communicate with love and truth and relevance can lead to a misunderstanding and alienation. Many people mistakenly assume they are friends, but through miscommunication or a misunderstanding, they drift into a state of indifference or maybe even bitterness, even to those in the body of Christ. My experience is this: a high percentage of offenses and hurts could be resolved by simple communication and going back to the brother or sister for clarification. So often it comes from a lack of proper communication or simply a scrambled single. A stepfather wanting to get close to the boy took him on a fishing trip. It was his stepson, and the boy hated it. But he didn't know how to tell his stepfather directly, so he wrote him a note saying he wanted to go home. The man looked at it, stuck it in his pocket. The fishing trip continued for 4 more days. When they finally returned home, the boy shared his frustration with his mother and told her that his father paid no attention to his note. His mother said to him, "Son, your father can't read." Good communication occurs not only when we know what we want to say, but when we make sure the person to whom we are communicating understands. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We're together. We're a body, and we need to communicate. Our physical bodies are a model. There is constant communication between the head and the rest of the body. If my one foot hurts, my other foot takes more of the weight when I walk. If there is an infection, the rest of my body feels it. If my hand goes numb and it isn't communicating with the nervous system, I do something about it. What will we do about this message? God bless you.
Thank you, brother, for that message on what I might call practical Christian living. We need to hear messages like that to help us to get through the week ahead. One thing that came to my mind, and our brother already alluded to it, maybe we might think of this as sort of the bottom line on communication, especially verbal, is the fact that once we say something, we can't take it back. That's pretty obvious. If we say something that's positive and good, that's fine. If we say something that's not, that's negative, critical of another person, that's a different story. We can ask for forgiveness. The recipient can forgive us. God can forget about it. But will that person that we harmed forget? That's hard to do. One verse to leave you with. James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Let's kneel as we come before the Lord.